session is all yours.
Right, so I guess you're wondering what it is I do now. Can you hear me all right?
Yeah, who are you?
Nick Ashton Hart. The my official title now is Senior Director for Participation and Engagement. I think all of you will have received the email from Doug that was forwarded when I was appointed at the beginning of December. The main things that I'm working on at the moment are the Public Participation Committee has resolved upon a draft program of work for the remainder of this fiscal year and the all of next fiscal year. Basically, it will take 16 months, whatever that is, 15 months, which you'll hear a good deal more about on Wednesday if you come to the Public Participation Committee's public session in the afternoon. I can give you a summary of what those four areas of work are, if you like.
Yes, please, Nick.
The first project is called Meetings for the Next Decade. It's a three-part consultation, which instead of previous meeting-related consultations, which tend to start with a position paper drawn up by one or more people that is then the subject of a consultation. This time around, we're doing it in the opposite way. We're actually putting out a survey that uses Big Pulse's survey technology. You'll all be pretty familiar with that, which asks questions about at a high level, you know, what kind of meetings do people want? What, you know, what decisions do they? What's the decision tree to attend a meeting? What do they find valuable about meetings? What do they find less valuable? What do they think the criteria should be in selecting the host city and the venues for meetings? As well as other questions like this, so that at a high level we would get sort of the temperature of the community about what matters, really. And from that, we would then develop some options, which could be the subject of a second consultation, to sort of narrow down to the point where ultimately after the third consultation, we would have a very clear picture of what the community actually wants meetings to be like for the next 10 years, because, of course, they've sort of evolved over the last 10 years in an organic way, sort of reacting to the needs at the moment and financial, you know, the bid system on which meetings are based today is really based on a different time when ICANN's finances didn't allow it to spend much money on meetings and hosts were expected to bear most of the cost, which is not really the way it works today. So that's the first project. I'm expecting that the first survey will come out not too long after this meeting ends. Each of the surveys will be 45 days long, each of the consultations, to allow more time. And each of them will be in all the six UN languages. From the beginning, by the way, we'll post everything in six languages from the start. The second is something we're already doing. It's distance communication tools. The idea here is that we focus a lot on remote participation at meetings, but what we don't really focus as much on is the fact that everyone is a remote participant most of the time because we are all working in between meetings with one another, and we're all remote from everybody else. And so the idea here is to look at the way in which different communities have evolved their systems to work remotely and take the best from all of them and then use what, you know, look at what people are doing and then go to the community and say, well, here's what we've heard you say, here's what you're using, here are some ideas for how we could improve things. And then you would end up with sort of a best practices-based model developed on what all of you need. You'll have noticed that we have we've had to move a little bit ahead of what I would have done in order to facilitate remote participation at this meeting for obvious reasons. But that, of course, does not prejudge any outcome at all from the larger consultation. It's simply us needing to greatly up the quality level of remote participation for everyone, because it was very clear starting in December that this meeting would have more remote participants than any other meeting we've ever held, and that's certainly proving to be true. The third subject is a review of the public participation systems that ICANN uses. These have also grown up over a 10-year period, as you all know, and At Large actually recently sent the PPC quite detailed recommendations on how the public consultation process could be improved. And so the idea of this is basically to look at all the different public participation systems, from the public forum at ICANN meetings and the public board meeting at ICANN meetings to the public consultation process, and avail ourselves of the advice of world-respected experts in creating public participation systems, large-scale public participation systems, to provide us with some options for things we could do to improve things, and then, of course, take them to the community and see if you like them or if you don't like them. And probably there'll be some things that people will want and some things that people will be less enamored of. But that's basically the idea here, is that we once again should look forward and review how things work and see if they can be improved for everyone's benefit. And finally, as you all, I know you all feel strongly that outreach to new participants, both new participants to existing communities and new communities, is very important. Of course, there are initiatives in various parts of ICANN to reach out to new participants in one way or another, but they generally arise organically out of the need in a given stakeholder group, and there isn't any coordination of efforts to help support all of them. Help support all of these initiatives, provide informational products that they need, for example. And so the idea of this project is that we should do just that. We should look at all the initiatives that people are doing to bring new participants in, ask the community what efforts they wish to see entered into to bring in new participants, and then, create a broad coordinated strategy where the differentiation that is needed can be brought to bear so that we can, do what is needed for given different communities, but at the same time that there's some overall coordination so that collateral materials can be reused by different groups and messaging when ICANN staff and others are at events can be cross-collateralized and that kind of thing. So those are the main four areas, which you'll hear more about as time goes on. Of course, this is a draft program. This was prepared on the understanding that we're finishing off a budget year, which has constrained finances for reasons that you'll have already heard about and or will be hearing about at the budget consultation on Wednesday. And at the same time, we're in the budgeting process for the next fiscal year. So to the extent, At Large has always been very forthright and interested in outreach and making things work better, making systems more volunteer-friendly, I know. So to the extent that you are for all this, make those views known in the budget consultation. And probably I should leave it to questions.
Thank you, Nick. Opening the floor to any questions. Looking around, I see Sebastian's hand in the Adobe Connect room. Go ahead, Sebastian.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Nick, for your presentation. I have one question. What is the relationship between the organization of the meeting and the organization of the overall structure of ICANN? Don't you think that they could have some changes in the organization of the meeting if there are some changes in the organization of the, and especially after the review of the board of the non-com and other AC and AC and ASO. Thank you.
Do you want me to wait?
No, I was going to say go ahead, Nick, because I wasn't sure whether you were going to.
I think I understand the question. I'm not entirely sure. The approach that I'm trying very hard to take with the meetings consultation is to keep my own opinions out of it. I think in the past where we have gone wrong is staff or board or somebody has, with all the best intentions, had ideas about how they think meetings should be organized and proposed those as an initial proposal. And we're trying very hard to avoid that and just say, look, let's do this a different way. Let's really ask the community, what do they want out of meetings? And use that to then drive a discussion about what kind of meetings to organize. So, yes, I think it's entirely possible that one could say that a different meeting structure would be more suitable for X and Y reasons. But I'm very desirous that you be the one to tell us that.
Thank you, Nick. Adam is next. My line was off, so he wouldn't know who was talking. Go ahead, Adam.
Hello, Nick. Hello. It's Adam, and my question is a slight follow-on from what you were just saying about not... feedback from somewhere.
Yeah, I got some feedback there.
Yeah. Slight follow-on. What is the rationale for selecting the six UN languages? Why have we decided on the UN languages, given that we're not the United Nations? And I just want... I mean, I no prejudging whatsoever on whether they're right or not, just that if we're thinking about... restructuring the meetings, why those languages, and will there be a cost-benefit analysis and all the usual things we've been discussing?
I can tell you there's actually not really any connection between those languages and the meetings consultation. To the extent there is sort of a guideline framework for translation, it's in the accountability and transparency management operating principle, I think that's the right name for it, which were agreed in February 2008, which said that ICANN should seek to translate major documents and initiatives into the six UN languages. Having been involved in discussions about translation, and I am involved in them now, I can tell you that the rationale was simply that to the extent there is a list of languages which are the object of translation in international affairs, it is those six languages. So I think the basic rationale is you could pick other languages. There's a suggestion that language that ICANN should translate into the 10 languages that are most used on the Internet, for example. This is a proposal that was made. The only thing that is that really makes that problematic is, to be honest, we're not even translating everything into six at the moment, and it's quite expensive even the amount of translating we're doing, which is considerable comparing to where we were a couple years ago. I don't see how we can do 10. Just from a cost perspective, so that's why the list is those six, really. if that's helpful.
Yep, Adam seems satisfied, and I seem like I'm talking from the end of a tunnel, which in fact I'm not. Perhaps someone in audio could make something magic happen, because we are now going to see if there's any final questions, and if not, thank you very much, Nick, and ask if there's any final words you'd like to give us.
Well, all I can say really is, you know, the point of my position is to make life better for all of you. And the mechanism by which you tell ICANN what would make your life better, you know, we propose ideas for projects. I've just given you some outlines here. I know that AtLarge has quite specific views on how outreach, community development, and system support should be entered into. So to the extent those are important to you, as the budget consultation proceeds, please make that that clear. I'm hearing quite a lot of noise now, but... And now I hear nothing.
Yours. Thank you. So I shall do my best. Since I wasn't here, I also want to make sure that we have a chance for a direct dialogue. So first of all, thanks for the opportunity to be here. I got feedback this morning on a variety of areas, some that I was kind of... I got feedback on a variety of areas, so I'll keep... My point's actually relatively brief and allow more opportunity for discussion and questions, if that's okay with everybody.
Welcome to our world.
Yes. Yes, yes. On that note, let's see how the technology works. I believe Mandy gave a brief overview of what Global Partnerships does, but I'm going to give it from a perspective of where the organization was when it started and what the objectives of the Global Partnerships area have been, and where I think that we have some alignments for the future with ALAC and with the regional organizations as well, and specifically how we can try to leverage that in light of trying to utilize existing resources, existing networks, and reach out to new entities together and do that. Also keeping in light, of course, that that ALAC has a responsibility to individual users and how one can synergize that and get that alignment also with the other stakeholder groups that ICANN has a responsibility towards. So the reason I'm going to explain, the average day in a Global Partnerships team can range from pretty much anything under the sun that you can imagine. Responding to questions regarding visas to ICANN meetings, facilitating that dialogue, discussions about CCTLDs, questions, information flow on CCTLD issues is a very primary one, working with IANA there. Working with the policy department on getting information out on what's happening in policy development processes, engaging with the technical community on trainings, civil society, business community, and working with International Chamber of Commerce chapters, etc. Working with the CCTLD regional organizations and the regional internet registries. And then a very large part is also engaging with the governments. And we do quite a bit in order to facilitate knowledge that participating in the GAC is quite important. And that's been a very important part of the work. And then also engaging with intergovernmental and regional bodies. The mandate really is to work against the a business plan that maps to the operational and strategic plan. And so the reporting also comes in mapping against the entire operational plan and the categories of work within that. So taking all of that, how can we actually work with the Global Partnerships team in that area of work and work with ALAC and strengthen both the promotion of ICANN, the strengthening of what's happening in the regions, and better aligning the resources that are being allocated? And there's two, I'm going to qualify two areas that I think there could be quite a bit more work. There can obviously be some very good internal coordination, and I know that Nick had just raised overall internal coordination among the organization on all the areas of work, how we can better prepare materials and leverage that, how we can better work together, also making sure that the staff is working together on a regular basis. Being globally distributed, you can appreciate that challenge. But the other one is making sure that we're all aware of the various activities that are happening. So it may seem irrelevant, or it may not seem as important, that potentially there might be an engagement of ICANN together with ISOC and another regional organization to facilitate a CCTLD technical training. But on the other hand, having that information and being able to provide it out to individual users and let them know that that's another area of importance that ICANN is participating in may actually be very important. And so I think what we can do is really do some better aligning and leveraging of all the variety of activities that ICANN is engaged with in the regions, and allow ALAC and the RELOs to really make the choice of which information they then want to work with on the individual user side and how to leverage that, or where there may be opportunities to bring participants in who hadn't been considered before. So that's an area that we'll certainly engage very actively on the staff side, and I think what would be helpful is to keep a regular dialogue going on what's been helpful and what's been not for that part. And then the other part is really ensuring getting the information out, but that there's also then the participation and opportunities to participate in the different events that are occurring, and again, that's within the realm of interest. Now, those are just two sort of high-level areas, but what I'd really like to hear is maybe some ideas and suggestions from this room and from the participants remotely on what other ideas exist and how do we do that, and where does that fit within the organization, or is that consistent with some of the work that Nick is trying to do overall? And so I'd like to leave my comments limited to this because I really would like to get a dialogue on some of the more creative ideas and thinking, if that's okay. I know that you're hearing from Tim and others who have responsibilities in other parts of the organization, so I can only speak to the areas that I'm dealing with. And I also understand there might have been some questions about the strategic plan and various other things.
Thank you.
You want me to go ahead on that?
Jump right in.
So save your questions. So, yes, the comments of all the organizations and all the comments that were provided were incorporated into the strategic plan. As you know, and as we had presented at the time, the strategic plan is a very different approach this year. It's a much more high-level approach. So one may not find the exact word that one had used, but the concept and the principle is reflected quite strongly. And separate from that, there is a summary, an analysis document that was posted, which provides where the different inputs were, so it captures that. And I pull it up here. I will send the link around to get that over so that you have that. And first it provides just general comments, and then broken down by the four focus areas, what some of the different views were from that. And again, one may not see the exact word that was used in the submission, but the concepts and principles were certainly reflected in that. And when I go to the actual strategic plan and look at this, a lot of the comments that we had gotten, especially from ALAC, a lot of them were very much relating to the healthy internet ecosystem, working on participation, working on engagement, and you'll see language in there, contributing, increasing participation, contributing to international forums, forum participation, build capacity and strengthen partnerships, things like that. So one should view that language as being reflective to capture not just the feedback that we got from ALAC, but we also got from, say, the CCNSO and from other entities there, from that area. And then again in the budget and operational planning part, again, you'll see some language in there, which I would really guide you to page 5, actually, which is really asking about getting comments on the following strategically significant areas. And in there, again, you'll see, you know, language, are the organizational activities prioritized correctly? Operating activities, there's outreach, there's, you know, what the roles of the internet and the ecosystem, those sorts of things. So focus in on what this, the strategic significant items are, because I think that's important feedback that will be looked for. In the remainder of the operational plan, you'll also see then different categories, and you'll see very much, you know, global engagement and participation and things of that. And again, those capture the concepts that we had also gotten the feedback from this. So I'll leave those comments there, and then maybe just open it for questions. I don't want to intrude too much in Tim's time, but I'm happy to remain as long as you'd like me to remain.
Thanks very much for that. The floor is open for questions. Sebastian, certainly you were leading the discussions this morning on the lack of clear link on what we said with strategic plan calls and with our comments and it being annotated or clear to see in the strategic plan. Did you want to follow up on that while other people perhaps frame their questions?
Thank you, Cheryl. Thank you, Teresa, for your presentation and your inputs, and yes, it's important for us to know that some of our ideas were taken into account in some sentences, but if I look at the differences between what it was proposed prior to the comments and after the comments, I don't see so much differences in the strategic planning, and I remain personally certain that what ALAC put on the table with a specific strategic project was not taken into account as a project by the board, and that's a pity, because if it's not taken, we need now to find a way where we will put our ideas to be able to do what we were thinking to try to do. And that's not good as image. That's not good to reward our work. That's not good for the participation of the member of the analysis to all this future work. And that's not good either for your department, because at the end of the day, one part of the participation is coming from the end users, and we need to do that more, and we need to do that with you and your department too. It's why we didn't get a real for the moment. Let's come to the second point about the
que là, en toute franchise, je n'ai pas vraiment bien compris. C'est moi de me répéter encore. C'est que ICANN, je vous dis, franchement, avec les institutions avec lesquelles nous sommes dans le pays, ne connaissent pas tellement bien ICANN. Et même si nous devons développer des activités en rapport et qui ont parfois des acquaintances avec ces programmes au pays, ils ne comprennent pas, c'est-à-dire qu'ils n'ont pas une bonne information d'ICANN. Alors, je ne sais pas, tous ces partenariats mondiaux, comme il est en train d'être dit, ça se passe comment? Comment est-ce que nous pouvons matérialiser cela? C'est ça le problème que nous avons. Et d'ailleurs, même pour preuve, parce que je crois que Cheryl là, en connaît quelque chose dernièrement, il a contacté des institutions, des organisations locales qui sont supposées être sponsors et qui ne sont pas ignorants, mais qui n'ont pas pu réagir tout simplement parce que pour eux, ils ne voient pas quels sont les rapports qu'ils ont avec ICANN. Voyez-vous. Donc c'est un peu, il y a quelque chose qui n'est pas tellement clair, qui ne perçoit pas. Ou alors, si nous pouvons faire une lecture, c'est que ICANN met en place un partenariat mondial inter-ICANN, ou bien je ne sais pas comment le dire, c'est un peu flou, on ne comprend pas. Si on peut vraiment nous clarifier cela de façon claire, comment ça se passe, et quels sont, c'est-à-dire, les mécanismes mis en place pour cet état, comment ça se passe exactement, pour que ça puisse nous permettre de répondre.
Merci. Sorry, we have a meltdown, we missed the very last of that. I think you were finished, but just repeat the very end, please, Badouan.
Justement, la dernière question, c'est de savoir, enfin, est-ce que on peut nous clarifier un peu les mécanismes, disons, mis en place par ICANN, ou alors les mécanismes envisagés par ICANN dans le cadre du partenariat mondial. C'est pour que nous puissions comprendre comment ça se passe, et même s'il y a des choses à faire, parce que s'il y a des programmes à développer. Et d'ailleurs, il y a un point très important, lorsque vous parlez de problèmes de financement, les difficultés de financement, etc., mais je pense qu'au niveau local, on peut même mobiliser aussi des fonds à partir des activités, si vraiment il y a une bonne politique de partenariat au niveau... Donc ça, si c'est éclairci, nous pouvons participer et nous pouvons mobiliser également des gens à ce niveau. Je pense que c'est ce problème que nous voulons un peu faire la remarque. Merci.
Thank you, Badouan, and I see nothing but agreement from Senegal at the end of the table as well. So, that's okay. Oh,
so I think
I'm going to be electrocuted. Should someone, call me fussy, but I'd prefer not to have to evacuate. Go ahead, please.
Yeah. I think If I'm understanding the point correctly, is that the fundamental issue is how do we create greater awareness of what the activities are, and how do we get that information out to a much wider audience, both through web portal information, but also through the different networks of information. And so, going to my earlier point. About really needing to strengthen the alignments that exist, both amongst the stakeholder groups in the regions and amongst the different entities within the organization structure that have responsibility for the different issues. And so I think we have responsibilities on all sides, in the community and in others. If I can give you examples of partnerships, we work closely with AFRINIC or AFTLD or regional organizations to other organizations. But I think what we could do much better is get that information out to a wider audience, figure out how to do that better, and then do stronger internal coordination as well. And I think that is a very practical first step, and then identify what practical next steps would exist. Another area that I would like to be working on is providing a web portal of information also on the different events that are being covered and who's covering them, and getting that information. So at least there's a resource on the website that has all that information and the activities, so there's not as strong a reliance on just solely having email. I'm not a technology expert, but I'm sure there's other mediums that we could use and we could explore in order to get the information out to a much, much wider audience and strengthen that. But I think you've really touched on what it is we're trying to address in this conversation and also as a really fundamental issue moving forward. I hope that's been responsive to the question.
Padwan, you okay with that?
No.
Work in progress. he likes to see the proof in the pudding. He'll just look at the recipe for now. But
can I ask? I would ask you to give me if you have ideas, please share. Really, because we're dealing with a unique model, so we have an opportunity to be as creative as we need to be. So it doesn't have to be now, but I would welcome the suggestions at any point in time or ideas and things to do.
And, of course, it does fit perfectly with some of our own ALAC improvement implementation processes where the regions and the ALS engagement is one of the major focuses we have. So knowing now that we'll be able to work in closer partnership,
yes.
Pardon the pun,
yes.
Is going to be very, very important.
No, I think that's, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to thank Teresa very, very much and pass on through her our thanks also again to Mandy because she just jumped in this morning and did an amazing job. So we want you to know how much we value what your team and you are doing for us and look forward to all of our next steps, including those closer communications between our staff and your staff in the future. So
likewise.
Thanks,
likewise.
Thanks a lot
for
that,
I'm
Teresa.
Glad we've taken these steps.
Thank you. Our next victim is Mr. Cole. No. Tim, come on down.
Thank you. Thank you. I don't feel like a victim. But before I launch into my presentation, I wanted to dovetail a little bit on Teresa's talks just to give you a little taste of how the synergy sometimes works between global partnerships and some of the operational staff functions. For example, on several occasions, at least once a year, if not more often, I am asked to attend presentations. I was in Senegal. I've been in Cairo a couple times and other places to speak in conjunction with one of the global partner staff members to emerging groups that are hoping to become active in the GTLD space or perhaps want to transition their CCTLD space from a pure single registry registrar model to a diversified registrar registry model similar to what we have in the G space. Mm-hmm. And so I've found it's been a very receptive and a very positive place for me to go and speak. And then on the flip side, there are occasions when we have compliance issues or concerns with registrars in some of the different regions. And in some instances, there are cultural or language misunderstandings or communication issues that the regional representatives from the Global Partnership have been able to help us with. So I just want you to know that we too, you know, take advantage of these different elements and we find a synergy that is often very very helpful. Now, let me speak to what I was asked to come and talk with you about a little bit, and that is our the regional registry and registrar events that we hold routinely, just to give you some background about them and then to talk about where we think they're headed and get some of your input, but I'll go to the next slide. The first slide shows the history of these meetings that we've had. If we can get there.
Welcome to our world.
Okay. Just if you look at this, I started at ICANN in the latter part of 2004. And starting in February of 2005, I helped coordinate a session to go out and meet with the European registrars. And this was not, in fact, we hadn't decided to call it a regional meeting, and it didn't even involve the registries at the time. It was just our first effort to do outreach to a group of the registrars in a specific geographic region, as opposed to the ICANN meetings that historically had taken place. So that was our first foray into it. And then what we really got a new model going starting in 2006, where we recognized three primary regions where we had a critical mass of registrars: Europe, Asia Pacific, and North America. We're starting to get more of a critical mass in South America and in Latin America, so we'll probably be looking to how we may add that into the mix, or a new version of the mix. But as you can see, if you sort of look down, you'll see that in some order, in some variation on the order, we have Europe, Asia Pacific, North America, Asia Pacific, Europe, North America, Asia Pacific, Europe, North America. So we have tried to rotate between those three regions approximately once a year. Where it gets complicated is that we also try to hold these sessions at times that are fairly remote from an ICANN meeting in that region, because it may be overkill to say to the European registrars to come to a regional gathering a month or two after an ICANN meeting in the region. And it was particularly challenging with Asia this past year because we had two Asia-Pacific meetings back-to-back. So if we go to the next slide, what our current plan has, the next meeting being next month in Asia-Pacific specifically, it's expected to be in Hong Kong. These dates are tentative. The reason for these dates is that they coincide with an ICT event in Hong Kong and some other regional TLD activities there. And so it actually provides the attendees with multiple reasons for going to the location at that time. What I will say is that we have started to get some pushback from the registries, and let me explain a little more about the way the model works. We have a meeting. It is it's essentially closed to the registries and registrars so that we can have an opportunity to do a couple things. First of all, we want to update them on compliance matters, contractual matters, issues that relate to what may be trends we may be seeing in their region with regard to either problems or potential best practices that some registrars are doing that we think would be good to share with others, et cetera. But it has historically been we bring the registries and registrars together because they also then can interact. But because the registries are more global and the registrars are more local, they find that they're being asked to come to three meetings a year, and the registrars in any given region are only asked to go to one or invited to one per year. So for them, they really look forward to it. They ask us, can we do two a year or whatever, but we haven't really been able to accommodate that. But the registries are starting to say it's too much. So we may revert somewhat to more of a registrar-focused model and then open it to registries when they're interested in attending, but we're not quite sure how that is going to go. So I know that there's interest in finding ways, if at all possible, to possibly dovetail activities of the RALOs or ALAC and some of our regional activities. I have to admit, I have to confess that we have a real logistical headache trying to set each one of these up. As I said, we're tentatively scheduled for the 15th and 16th of April. We don't have a venue yet. And we're almost a month out now, and people aren't going to be able to plan plane tickets and travel or whatever if we don't firm that up. So I just want to let you know that we have our challenges just trying to find times that will be acceptable to people that are good in the region, whether it be from avoiding holidays, avoiding conflicts. Trying to go at a time when the weather is at least partway reasonable, you know, not trying to go to the hottest climate in the middle of the summer and the coldest climate in the middle of winter, that sort of thing. Sometimes that can't be avoided. So I wanted to explain to you that that is sort of the general function that we have with these meetings and why we hold them. And if there are questions or concerns or things I haven't covered, please let me know.
Okay, thank you. And the first hand up is Evan.
Hi. Hi. Heidi, don't look at me that way.
We're all looking at you.
Yeah, okay. At the beginning of today's meeting, somebody had mentioned it in passing that there were some comments that had been within ICANN staff saying that there were lessons learned after Toronto. Could you please expand on that?
Well, a couple things. We are planning. Well, one of the questions we got concerns from some registrars who weren't in the region that felt that discussions, for example, about new TLDs or whatever that were held at these sessions. Were somehow imparting information to just the people who attended, and that people who didn't attend were disadvantaged, and it certainly wasn't. I don't think it was the case, or I don't think it was. It certainly wasn't any intent. But what we have decided to do in that respect is that we are going to be more public about when the meetings are held and where they're held, and that we will open them to registrars and registries that aren't from the region if they choose to attend. That's one thing. We also felt that just by being more public about it, we don't have any expectation of making them open meetings, but we do feel that there may have been some people in the Toronto area, for example, that felt they were kept in the dark and that this meeting was held and it was secretive or something and they weren't informed of it. So we're going to be more public with our schedule about when and where they're being held, but that we're probably not going to change the fact that they're focused on a specific targeted audience.
I guess my main question is about closed versus open. And I think there's people within at large, there's an understanding of what's a policy conference and what's a technical briefing.
Right.
And I think people get the difference between that. And I guess I'd like to ask, as probably one of the people who was involved before, is to find out why there is a resistance to having people from at large or even GNSO or whatever to come in and to use the old college term to audit something and just basically be a fly on the wall, see what goes on. I mean, this isn't an industry association. This is still ICANN acting as a public interest body. And unless you're having individual discussions with a contractual relationship, okay, that we get. But if you're having a briefing with all of them regarding things like new GTLDs or RAA or things like that, is there a compelling reason not to allow interested and well-meaning people from at large or other bodies to come?
Well, I guess I don't know how this will come across, but What we hear from the registrars is that they believe there would be somewhat of a chilling effect on the openness and the discourse that they would have if they felt there were other people in the room. By the same token, we make all of the presentation materials public. They get posted. We do not. I mean, you have full access to all of the presentations that were made to them. Those materials are posted publicly on the ICANN website following the meeting. So it's not that we're not hiding the ball in terms of the materials that's presented to them, but the dialogue that takes place in the room is designed to be, there's an expectation that it's among contracted parties.
And that's not going to change?
I don't see it changing in the foreseeable future, but I mean, I'm just one voice here. I'm just saying from our discussions about how these are being organized, I don't think that's going to change.
Okay. We've got Olivia and then Adam, and did I see then Sebastian? Go ahead.
Thank you, Cheryl. we're discussing this under promoting ICANN throughout large outreach activities. How is this set of regional registry registrar events outreach?
I didn't put it on your agenda.
No. Yeah, that's not Finn's issue. Okay. Adam.
I just wondered, it's actually two things. One is related to what you just said, and another question, but the idea of having closed meeting with contracted parties seems highly unusual from a sort of good governance perspective and the whole trend that we have in regulation and policy generally. Now, we've got a whole review of the FCC in the United States going on along, which is actually moving away even from an ex parte meeting process, which would be one if we put it into the context of the registrar meetings where you would, you know, you put forward not transcripts, but you put forward reviews of what was discussed. So it seems like a pretty unusual process for ICANN, which is supposed to be bodies of its kind. So it just doesn't seem to gel with everything else that ICANN does. So I'm surprised that there are any closed meetings for ICANN of this nature, unless they have to go into specific one-to-one contract negotiations. I can't see any reason why these meetings have to be closed, but I might be misunderstanding something.
No, and there is no contract negotiation that takes place.
That's what
I mean. There is no policy making that takes place. We have been very deliberate from day one to make it very clear that these sessions are distinct from the ICANN meetings because, you know, for one thing, we have no desire to compete or create an alternative to the full ICANN meetings. And the registrar constituency meetings are open. Those meetings take place, you know, on constituency day. A lot of visitors come and attend those and listen, and a lot of similar presentations are made by policy staff or compliance staff or whatever to the registrars in those sessions. What tends to be mark these is that they tend to be more intimate. They're smaller. The goal is to once a year, because it's regional, once a year in a given region, is to provide a sort of a safe harbor opportunity for people to get together in a room and talk about the concerns, challenges, whatever it is involved with, you know, doing that business as a part of the ICANN community. I don't really think, I mean, I understand why people might be interested in attending, but I really don't think asking for one meeting a year to be closed per region is really all that contentious. Yeah.
It may be that the reason people are generally concerned, it's not, I don't think it's just me, it's a lot of people, and it's not just ALAC, is the fact that we didn't even know the meetings were going on at one point. So the fact that they would be on a schedule would be.
I know. As we, yes, whenever so, we get more yes. open, then we get more criticism.
Seriously.
And the main thing is, I think what we're hearing is that this is an opportunity for the retreat aspect of conversation to go on. Mm. And I think it's very helpful for us as a community to understand purpose and intent because. Lack of information and knowledge usually leads us to jump to conclusions.
Right.
So that I think is what we're trying to avoid
doing
in
know,
the future.
And the other aspect to this is that it has a significant compliance component to it. Whether you call it the compliance staff saying something to them or not, it's helping them to fully understand what is required of them under their contracts, and what is required as the contract evolves and changes. Mm. Is a crucial component that we don't really have the time to do that at an ICANN meeting. We really don't have many other opportunities to do that. So, in fact, you know, one of the clear goals of what we're doing is to make sure that these members of the community are doing what you and others want, and that is behaving appropriately within the context of the requirements of their contract.
Okay. Thank you, Tim. I just need to make very clear to our audience that the translators leave in 5 minutes. And we have real work that is going to rely on those translators. So I understand there's a great deal of energy and enthusiasm to go through the speaking list, but I'm very concerned that perhaps we anything else can be jotted down and, you know, sent across as an email or whatever. But thank you, Dave. Thank you, Sebastian, and thank you, Adam, and I know Evan wanted to say more, but I really think we just, you know, very, unbelievably brief, Evan.
Okay. Tim, we here in at large don't have the luxury of having any meetings that aren't open. Mm. I remember during the summit, I was involved in a meeting. We were half full with registrars that had no problem inflicting themselves on us.
Well,
it was useful, but by the same token, I don't think that a meeting that ICANN funds should be closed. And if the registrars wanted to pay for one on their own, let them do it and set their own rules.
Thank you, Evan. And, of course, one of the things we're very proud of is our openness and inclusiveness. And I don't think that should be deemed to be it's a benchmark we'd like to see everyone come up to. But I don't think that there was a heavily implied criticism with putting up with. What we need to do is engage more closely. We have a supply and demand, and the better we work together, the better we all end up working.
I know you're in a hurry, but I know that each meeting starting, I can't remember how far back, the registrars, we tried to work out a joint session sometime during the meeting with the registrars and ALAC. I don't think it's scheduled for this meeting, partly because of the so many of them are elsewhere, but Rudy and I were briefly talking about possibly doing something a little more extensive in Brussels, and I'm more than willing to help work on that so that we get that dialogue at least in those contexts.
And that's something that Bo and others have been actively involved with, and to revisit that I think would be brilliant. So thank you very much, Tim. I appreciate that. Okay, can I now have, and I do apologise for the compression that is going to be required, but we do need to look at what Sylvia and Siva. Do we have Siva on the line? Is Siva connected? If not, then the telecommunication gremlins have won and we have lost, but we do have a real live presenter, and that's the main thing. So, Sylvia, the floor is yours, and if we have Siva, fantastic. If not, that could be the cause of all that background noise. Not going to work. Siva, you must mute your line. It's untenable in the room. Go ahead, Siva.
Gracias, Cheryl. Creo que para empezar, hasta que podamos ver la... estamos en el... para empezar mi presentación, creo que resumiendo, cuando pasen unos años o unos meses simplemente, y digamos, ¿cómo fue la reunión número 37 de ICANN? Creo que todos nos vamos a acordar, además de la amabilidad de los africanos o de los kenianos, es de una sola palabra, outreach. Todo el mundo, todos hablaron sobre eso, y tenemos que agregar una más, que dijo Evan, inreach. Esa básicamente es todo lo que he escuchado en el día de hoy. Y mi presentación y la que hemos trabajado con Siva realmente también tiene que ver con esto. Voy a hacer la primera parte muy rápido porque simplemente va a ser repetir todo lo que estuvimos escuchando, no, además del tiempo, pero para no cansarlos, porque es todo lo que se habló hoy, todos hablaron sobre el mismo tema y yo también tengo que hablar sobre el mismo tema.
Be nice to the interpreters.
Entonces, la primera parte va a ser rápida porque en realidad fue un resumen de lo que hicimos para presentar a las agencias de publicidad con las cuales queremos trabajar. El tema de organizar un programa global de outreach para ICANN, no para LAC, para ICANN en general, en todas sus partes, nació después de una teleconferencia de ALAC en donde todos los miembros empezaron a hablar y llegaron a los resultados que fueron los comentarios de hoy. Entonces, esto fue la parte que nosotros le mandamos a las agencias de publicidad y por eso hicimos un resumen ahí, Siva hizo el resumen inclusive, y que todos, obviamente, como nosotros somos del área, sabemos que todos los computadores tienen un IP, y bueno, todo eso que ustedes están viendo ahí, que estimadamente hay 192 millones de dominios en el mundo, y que ICANN es quien organiza eso y quien administra eso, entonces todo el mundo está conectado con ICANN, solo que nadie sabe realmente quién es ICANN. Entonces, a no ser fuera de nuestros ambientes, de ICANN o de IGF, nadie sabe quién es ICANN ni lo que hace. Inclusive algunas se comentó en esta teleconferencia de ALAC que algunos pensaban que era una organización solamente para registrars y registries, solamente para eso que servía ICANN. Entonces, inclusive dentro de nuestra comunidad, como hemos visto hoy, muchos han manifestado de que la información que tenemos es confusa, inclusive cuando hay material. Nosotros ahora, nosotros, ALAC, hemos solucionado un poco este tema con los folletos que hemos hecho, inclusive particularmente estoy muy orgullosa, tengo que decirlo, lo siento, sobre el folleto traducido al portugués. Estoy realmente muy feliz con eso. Me voy a volver a Brasil muy feliz con el folleto en la mano, traducido al portugués. Pero en general no sabemos, las otras partes de ICANN no saben, o inclusive cuando hay material, cómo usarlo o es confuso. Y nosotros creemos que esto debe cambiar. Los usuarios, nosotros creemos que los usuarios necesitan saber para qué está ICANN, para qué sirve, en qué partes puede ayudarlos o qué no, y es por eso que nosotros decidimos organizar este proyecto. Por eso decidimos organizar este programa, y nosotros creemos que ICANN tiene la responsabilidad de hacerse conocer debido al rol importante que tiene en sus manos. Entonces no es una cuestión de elegir, sino que ICANN tiene que darse cuenta que tiene la responsabilidad de hacerse conocer mundialmente, ya que es una organización mundial. Lo que nosotros queremos hacer es que nosotros creemos que se necesita un programa global y no hecho por nosotros, miembros de ALAC, o no es una cuestión simplemente de distribuir panfletos, sino que necesitamos hacer una cosa más organizada y hecha por profesionales, por gente del área del área de publicidad. Entonces, nosotros estuvimos intentando entrar en contacto con dos agencias, con Ogilvy y Mater. Fue Shiva que hizo el contacto y yo entré en contacto con la gente de Young and Rubicon, con su filial de Brasil. No he tenido mucho éxito con ellos, pero sí Shiva ha tenido con Jubilee en India, él ha tenido buenos resultados y ellos nos han enviado una pequeña presentación. Y además de la presentación, nos han enviado también una presentación referente a ICANN, y nos han mandado un ejemplo de lo que ellos hicieron con otra empresa, con otro de sus clientes. Lo que nosotros pensamos, cuál es nuestro objetivo, a quién queremos llegar, es a todos los usuarios finales del mundo. Es un poco ambicioso, pero nosotros creemos que es necesario. Esta campaña global de outreach nosotros queremos dividirla en varias fases, y nuestra la primera etapa, la primera fase, queremos llegar tanto a los usuarios, y queremos enfocarnos primero en los propietarios de los websites y en bloggers, también en periodistas del área de internet y a los grupos de consumidores, ¿sí? Y después a otros sectores, pero primeramente a este sector. Hay varias posibilidades, hay varios medios de llegar a estos objetivos que nosotros nos pusimos, y en la presentación de esta agencia de publicidad ustedes van a ver cómo ellos hicieron para llegar a los consumidores finales del mundo con un sistema parecido al que nosotros queremos implementar aquí con ustedes, con ICANN. Como pusimos aquí, los beneficiarios principales de esta campaña, sin duda que va a ser ICANN, todos los usuarios, y a través de eso, nosotros, at large, también vamos a ser vamos a beneficiarnos con esto y vamos a poder sacar un buen provecho de esto, pero queremos que quede claro que en realidad no es una campaña como la que estuvimos hablando ahora nosotros o como hizo la presentación de Carlos, sino que en realidad queremos que sea para todos los sectores que están involucrados en ICANN. Nosotros ya sabemos por qué necesitamos eso y cómo lo queremos hacer. Entonces ahora la idea es que si todos nosotros aquí estamos de acuerdo con esto que estamos presentando, tendríamos que decidir qué es lo que vamos a hacer con esta información que Shiva y yo estuvimos recolectando. Si se la vamos a mandar directamente a Kevin, la idea, y decirle, bueno, hicimos esto, ¿qué tal si ustedes ponen el dinero para hacer esto? O si a ustedes no les parece suficiente esto, quizás alguien se pueda unir a nosotros, que sea del área o que esté interesado en este tema, para de repente mejorar y después de mejorado, sí llevarlo para el board o para quien sea este proyecto. Nosotros calculamos que ICANN tiene un presupuesto anual de 60 millones y estábamos pensando para la primera fase, que duraría 3 años. La risa creo que debe ser por el valor, pero fíjense que solamente entre el 5 y el 7% de lo que ICANN recoge anualmente, porque estamos hablando de una campaña mundial. Entonces, necesitamos dinero. Todos estuvieron de acuerdo, inclusive cuando estuvo Teresa aquí, que necesitamos dinero, pero eso pues, por eso les digo, ustedes tienen que decir si sí o si no, si los llevamos directo o no, pero esa es la idea, porque tenemos que ser realistas, que una campaña mundial no se hace con centavos.
Okay.
Thank you, Sylvia. I'm sorry about my laughing out loud, but there is a snowball's chance in hell of this getting the type of support it so rightfully deserves. However, that does not mean that we cannot use this information to try and influence choices that better funded programs within ICANN might be doing. So what we can do is look at ways where meeting the needs here, as has been very, very well analysed and done, cannot be passed to public participation and Nick's unit, and there's directors. There are people with better chances of getting that sort of budget input. Mm-hmm. To be honest, if I had a choice of running a whole bunch of regional meetings and another at-large summit or doing ICANN's advertising for it, it's a no-brainer which way I'll be going. Because we need to do a lot of capacity building and development in our areas. Increasing some of these capacity for people to understand and know about ICANN is in itself an interesting debate that we probably need to have, because do we need to educate the peak bodies and decision makers, or do we need to educate the man in the street? And they're two very different approaches, and it's not actually clear, at least from my understanding of the regions, which is the right way or which is globally the best way forward. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm very, very keen to, however, put this on our to-do and discuss agenda. So with your permission, can I ask this link, we can analyse this, the link will be updated and we will have this presentation now, correct? The link to the presentation we've just seen, because I think some of us would like to go over in specific detail, and I would very much like to have the regional leaders focus on this. Perhaps, I don't know whether you can squeeze it into your leadership and secretariat meeting, but if you can, I think it would be a very, very worthwhile exercise. Perhaps in our wrap-up meetings later, we can look at that later in the week. My apologies for compressing time. Are there any questions that need to be raised right now on this matter? I see Olivier. Anyone else? And I see Evan.
I need my...
and you need your we go there you go. Okay, go ahead.
Thank you, Cheryl. I just have two points I wanted to ask.
I'm listening in English. Aquí, okay.
Can you hear?
Yeah.
Okay. I have two points I wanted to expand on. One was whether it was within at-large's mission to propose such a thing. And the other one was just a word of congratulations to you and to Shiva for having put such a good presentation together, which, and I'll speak just for myself, made a lot more sense than some of the babble. For the French, I don't know how to translate babble in Spanish, but for the French, it's charabia that we've been dispensed with in the plan, in the strategic plan, which has absolutely no mention of outreach. And unless there is outreach in ICANN is absolutely nothing outside of the Kenyatta International Conference Center. Thank you.
Yeah.
Gracias. Gracias, Olivier. Creo que por la primera parte, la primera pregunta, lo que te puedo decir es que realmente nosotros, no sé si es nuestro deber presentar esto aquí, pero realmente sentimos la necesidad, debido a esa teleconferencia de ALAC, que todos los miembros de diferentes regiones sintieron la necesidad de que ICANN no era conocido, y justo viene a encajar que todo el mundo hoy habló de eso. Nosotros lo sentimos unos meses antes, y es por eso que surgió la idea de hacer este proyecto, que es muy ambicioso, según nuestra presidenta lo ha manifestado en su manifestación de risa, pero creemos que es necesario y por eso lo hicimos. Pero bueno, el board va a decidir, o no sé quién va a decidir de repente si lo podemos implementar de aquí a 10 años, no sé.
Okay. Evan?
When I think of advertising companies like Ogilvy and Mather, I think of big media. I think of radio, television, newspapers, traditional media, big media, and someone would say old media. In your proposals, did you consider the idea of doing viral internet-based marketing that would approach the people who are using the internet, who in fact are the people most in need of knowing about ICANN? Such campaigns would possibly be very effective and probably much less expensive.
Sin duda. En la segunda parte de la presentación que Shiva iba a hacer, está explicado cómo lo íbamos a hacer. Solo que estamos con problemas de tiempo. Entonces, les voy a pasar la presentación, porque inclusive en la propuesta que esta agencia de publicidad nos mandó, cuando hablamos entre 3 y 5 millones de dólares anuales, si queremos hacer una campaña televisiva a nivel mundial, ese dinero no es nada, no significa nada. Pero con ese dinero, si queremos hacer una publicidad a nivel de banners y otros tipos de cosas en Internet, es un buen dinero y se puede llegar a nivel mundial. Sin duda que pensamos en Internet, sí, claro. ¿Era eso lo que me preguntaste? Ok, gracias.
Final question then from Varun, please. You'll need your ears again. Thank you. Go ahead.
Je pense que, Yvan, vous avez posé, disons, une préoccupation pertinente. Mais je crois que l'idée qu'a développée Sylvia, c'est une idée très intéressante qui nous a même tenté également, que nous sommes en train de réfléchir et comment bâtir cela. Parce que la télévision, la radio, tout ça, on arrive à atteindre au moins un plus grand nombre. Vous savez que l'Internet comme tel est encore un problème de luxe, quelque part. Enfin, si je dis luxe, c'est que l'accès est encore problème dans beaucoup de pays. Donc, je pense qu'il faut utiliser les moyens existants, donc la technologie existante encore, pour pouvoir essayer de mobiliser les gens. Donc, on peut passer par la télévision, la radio, des proximités, tout ça. Les internautes, il n'y en a pas seulement dans les grandes villes aujourd'hui. La technologie évoluante, il y a beaucoup de personnes qui utilisent cette technologie, même en milieu rural, avec les moyens de la technologie la plus élémentaire, d'ailleurs. Donc, il y a beaucoup de choses qui se développent, des initiatives qui se créent. Hein, donc, il faut quand même qu'on arrive à pouvoir faire passer le message par tous ces canaux-là. Donc c'est pour cela que moi je dis que l'idée de ce développement, Sylvia, c'est toute l'idée même que nous avons, et non pas seulement en idée, mais nous sommes déjà allés dans les contacts avec les médias locaux, voir comment est-ce que nous pouvons travailler avec eux et faire passer le message. Je pense que c'est une très bonne idée.
Sí, gracias. Nosotros también pensamos en eso porque inclusive estamos diciendo el usuario final y la gente que aún no es usuario final. Pensamos en los avisos de Google, pero eso es para gente que ya está, ya hace parte de la red, que es de Internet. Si uno quiere buscar, no sé, conectividad o ICANN, uno va al Google y encuentra una buena respuesta. Pero la idea es llegar a gente que aún no tiene conectividad o que aún no hace parte de Internet. Entonces, por eso nuestra propuesta, que después ustedes van a poder verificar, hay avisos de radio, hay avisos en periódicos y en revistas también y en televisión. Solo que en televisión se pueden organizar entrevistas, por ejemplo, para miembros en forma regional, no solamente país a país, para que salga más barato, por ejemplo, agarrar Sudamérica o Norteamérica o el este de África. Para no tener que hacer país por país, porque realmente una campaña global asusta solo de pensarlo. Pero sí, pensamos en las dos cosas. Okay.
Thank you very much. And I hear a great deal of enthusiasm, but I also want to make a huge individual thank you, because I think what you've done is get us thinking in some new ways, and I think this sort of idea is very, very important. Were you wanting to have a tiny moment, Andreas? Was that what you were telling me? You wanted to
30 seconds.
30 seconds? Okay, go ahead then, that's it.
Vinculado al presupuesto que pretenden disponer o obtener, es varias veces el actual presupuesto de At Large, contando todos los gastos, el staff que se pone a disposición, los viajes y la infraestructura. Este presupuesto de Outreach sería varias veces al año lo que se usa para todo At Large. O sea, realmente es muy ambicioso, pero bueno, la verdad que más allá de que Cheryl se rió y yo me reí también en ese momento, no me animo a decir no lo pidan, no me animo a decir que no, pero bueno, hay que tener bien esa certeza de que estamos hablando de mucho dinero que no hemos podido obtener. Queremos hacer el summit y hay muchas objeciones, y bueno, y esto es sumamente diferente hablando de números, nada más. A lo mejor a alguien eso no le quedó, no lo estudió en detalle cuando se habló de presupuesto en alguna ocasión, como para dejarlo claro, es bastante dinero el que se busca en ese caso.
Gracias, Andrés. Así es, pero en realidad lo tuvimos muy en cuenta. Y es por eso que yo dije más de una vez, no es un proyecto ALAC, es un proyecto ICANN. Nosotros les estamos dando la idea y les estamos dando la solución, les levantamos el problema que nosotros nos dimos cuenta, porque tenemos el acceso a todas las comunidades y a las comunidades. Acá está, el mundo de Internet está acá, en ALAC. Pero nosotros les estamos dando la idea y la solución, pero es para ICANN, no es ALAC. Entonces, si pensamos en ALAC, es mucho dinero. Pero si pensamos en ICANN, en todas las partes de ICANN, no lo es. Es por eso que nos arriesgamos a decir realmente se necesita entre el 3 y el 5% del presupuesto total de ICANN.
Go ahead, Olivia. And if your definition of 30 seconds is different to Andreas's, I would appreciate that.
Thank you, Cheryl, very much so. Do a search on Google. You mentioned Google. Do a search on Google for domain name, and you'll find that in the first few pages, ICANN doesn't even exist. Thank you.
Very, very good points. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to ask that we now stop our need for interpretation, because we have had our interpreters working almost 20 minutes over their due time. I want to thank each and every one of them for the hard work they've put on today.
having worked under some particularly difficult technology challenges as well. So thank all of you. And while they take a deep breath, a cold drink of water, leave the room and get ready to come back tomorrow for it all to happen again, but on a larger scale, I want to draw your attention to what we're now going to have to do to our remaining agenda. I think it is vital that at 5:30, yes, ladies and gentlemen, that is in a mere 10 minutes, that we head off to the events, which are the fellowship and then the Afralo event. And I expect to see each and every one of you at those events, please, particularly the Afralo outreach. It's vitally important that we see you all there. And then in this last 10 minutes, what I'd like to propose is that we take some time to look at the EOI issues and give some feedback for Olivier. Is that, I think, it's certainly my view of the priority for 10 minutes valuable spent. Does anyone wish to argue with me at this point that that's where we should be going?
Question.
Yes?
Doesn't the African showcase start at 5:30?
I believe so.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, says no.
Oh, well, come on, tell me what's going on.
Start preparing the showcase at 5:30, but Rod is not expected to be there before 6.
Well, we still need everyone there well before that. So, yeah, we will work to 5:30. Yes, come and plug in if you can up here, I believe. Mateus, can you make the magic happen so we can see presentations and things? We need to plug in Olivia's computer, please. Just while we're challenging the making magic happen on screens technology issues, we have not clearly got time now to go through and make sure there are names matched to various of the non-ALAC and at-large meetings. It's going to be a fairly simple process. Take the time to do so now. If you're not on one of those, we'll, you know, speak now or allocate or forever hold your peace. But we do know the system. We've got opportunities for everyone to be in different meetings. If you haven't got your name next to anything, we will track you down and it will be held against you because it is important that we are seen. Whilst we are still waiting for the technology challenges to be met, yes, go ahead, Alan.
Although we're doing Olivier's now on EOI and not the intellectual property issues on new GTLDs, if you have any advice or sage words for me, get them to me via email before the session tomorrow afternoon.
Thanks, Alan, but you have a fairly good measure. Rudy, you're waving to me. I know I've bumped you off the agenda. What do you want to say about it? Go ahead.
Well, I would like to know when it's going to be on the agenda.
When we next convene as a regional meeting, so at the beginning of our Tuesday activities. Is that a problem or not? If not, when we have other opportunities on Thursday, but I would have thought sooner rather than later.
I personally prefer to have it on Tuesday, as the council meeting will be on Wednesday.
Well, makes perfect
sense.
So I
need the input.
The Tuesday sounds like a perfect match then. So we will bump our agenda around to make sure that it's met. There's nothing we can do about it. Go ahead, Olivia.
Thank you, Cheryl. I wanted to go just quickly through the questions which will be asked tomorrow during the EOI panel session that will take place right after the inauguration ceremony. On the screen you'll find the EOI panelists, and I'm not sure whether I've got a list them through. There's Bruce Tonkin for ICANN Board, Avery Doria, NCUC, Bertrand Lachapelle, French Government, Zahid Jamil, DNDRC, there's myself, there's Richard Tindall, who used to be with Demand Media but is now independent, and there's Anthony Vancouvering, Minds of Machine. The questions that are being asked, and I wanted to sort of get some feedback as to what we were thinking. Most of the answers are actually already on our document that we've submitted, but I just want to make sure that I understand the document correctly and see that this is really indeed our own answer. I gather that I won't be able to speak on behalf of ALAC, but I will express my own opinions and say that because we haven't ratified this in the usual processes and so on, but this is the sort of thing that we think of as ALAC. That's it.
Yeah.
So the first question that will be asked, and there's been a slight rescheduling of the questions that are going to be asked there. The first one is, what are the benefits of the EOI pre-registration, and does it serve the public interest? And one of the reasons why it's been moved to the first question is because some of the participants are hoping that one will whiz through the first question without really speaking much about it. And Bertrand Lachapelle wishes to change this to, what are the expected benefits of the EOI pre-registration, and does it serve the public interest? Some of the people there, some of the panelists, think that this will serve as a mitigating factor or first step in controlling the new flow of GTLDs. Some of the participants indeed think that the cake is going to grow if you look at the GTLD space, and others think that it won't grow and will end up with smaller slices. Any points on that you think we should be pushing through? Adam?
I'm just a bit sort of concerned that what was the original purpose of the EOC, and are we now expanding on that into some... It's almost as if, from what you're saying, Olivier, that we don't really know what the purpose of the EOC was anymore. Obviously, it had an original purpose. What was that purpose, and is what we're doing now meeting that purpose? Because it seems to me we're going off into, you know... I think the original purpose was basically a marketing exercise. I think that's why it was originally suggested, if I remember correctly what the discussion was. We seem to be going off into... And that should be the first question, because everything else depends on that, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll put this down. I think that in this particular case, we'll just have to listen to what the others have to say, I guess, because there are vastly different differing views on this event.
Alan, go ahead.
This was discussed a little bit at the GNSO meeting yesterday, and someone, I don't remember who, pointed out that if submitting an expression of interest is mandatory, if the price is so is a very large part of the overall price, it effectively is no longer an expression of interest. It's a first stage of the application process, and let's not call it anything else. There is a downside, however, and that is, should the whole new GTLD process get derailed, postponed for 2 years for whatever reason, legal or otherwise, and have to be started over again, there will be public knowledge of who wants what TLD. There will be an opportunity for other people to register trademarks, perhaps now a year or 2 years before that, and cause all sorts of havoc. And therefore, there is some potential damage.
We'll touch on to that
and
in a moment,
and if it's not truly the launch of the GTLD application process, and effectively it will be the launch unless there's a derailing, in which case it has some negative ones. So,
I forgot to mention it earlier, actually. We had yesterday night dinner. All the participants on the panel had a dinner and beat some of the questions there, mm-hmm. So as to try and see what everyone was thinking before we actually met in public.
Excellent prior planning should prevent the inevitably... peaceful performance, which is what we're trying to do. So it should be very good.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure how it will pan out, but we'll see.
Okay, well, that's good. Any other comments or questions on that? If not, can I ask, is there something else you want to specifically have us address now?
That was question number one.
I'm trying to rule it along with 3 minutes to go.
I'll be a bit faster then. Second one, what is the best way to ensure a global and fair process? Some people think that the process is not going to be fair because only those in the know will actually submit an EOI. So they're saying that a large media campaign should be launched, which is funny because we've just spoken about something like that. Mm-hmm. Another suggestion is to go through the local internet registries and their registrars and get them to email their customers so as to push for this. But it sounds more like a marketing exercise than anything else, yet again.
Quick point. Kurt Prince, on behalf of ICANN, yesterday did allow that whatever marketing campaign would have been necessary prior to the launch of GTLDs, and I think it was specified minimum 4 months by the GNSO, would have to precede the EOI. So whatever the problem would be for GTLD launch, it is now being moved to EOI, but it isn't any different.
Do we have any preference with regards to whether it should be through the registrar registries or through a large media campaign?
Both.
Next one. Should the EOI pre-registrations be mandatory, pros and cons? From the report that we've submitted, it looks as though we are saying that it should be mandatory. That's at least what I understood it to be. Am I being correct on this assumption or not? The quote is actually there. The at-large believes that the participation in the EOI should be a prerequisite to file a full application later. This will allow potential applicants to develop their proposal without running the risk of being outplayed later on by latecomers with big pockets.
I think that is what we meant, but we also had caveats in there about the cost of the EOI, and that the community applications, there should be categories of this, that, and the other, so that people wouldn't be disadvantaged simply because they didn't have deep pockets now.
Okay, any other? Next one, what information about the EOI pre-registration submission should be made public? There were two camps in there. Some wished to keep everything confidential. Some wished to have only the actual strings, the mains themselves, to be confidential, and some wanted nothing to be confidential, everything to be open. My own view is that since ultimately the stakes are very high, keeping everything confidential is likely to be impossible, and we should expect leaks. Because it's not in an ICANN's culture to keep secrets. And the second thing I also think is ICANN has pledged to keep its processes as transparent as possible. And if we start having confidential EOIs and choices and so on, it goes directly against this pledge. Don't know if you do agree with that or not.
So it does sound a little like the end of the wedge to me, but what's the feeling of the room? It sounds to me like no one's objecting to that, so that gets a big tick. Next.
And then an additional question was added by consensus. We all discussed it, and the question was how to minimize gaming. Parties lodging expression of interest purely for the purposes of being bought out by another party. And in fact, we upon discussion, found two ways of gaming the system. The first way to game things would be to identify the generic word that matches a brand, let's say Time, for example. Register for an UI for Time, whilst Time Warner Group also registers for Time, and then try to get bought out by Time Warner Group somehow. That was one idea. The other idea was a counterexample was a large company checks for unregistered generic words. Of course, that's if everything is open, and looks for the applicant's details. And if it finds that it's a small-time applicant, then it registers the word as well by making the process more expensive for the small applicant. And it gets the applicant to run out of cash because the application is then from $55,000 to $185,000 for an evaluation fee. The problem that you end up with is you're not even playing at the casino. What you're actually playing is poker with someone who's basically cheating and trying to basically run you out by bluffing their way through. That's the position that Avery is probably going to push forward. I wondered whether you thought about.
I think there's a sort of notion of frivolous applications, isn't there? Or unless, you could almost judge that by the nature of the business plan that was submitted, that the original applicant would have hopefully a detailed business plan, and the deep-pocketed bad person would have something that was somewhat frivolous and should, I don't know, you can't tell, but you know what I mean, what I'm trying to get at, that you'd have, you may well be able to note the legitimate applicant through the nature of his business plan, as opposed to this sort of counter deep-pocketed response. Don't know.
The problem is that it looks as though the big guys, and I'm not going to name any of them, but the big guys are there to try and make a killing and not let any of the small-time applicants, including non-profit organizations or any other organization that wants to get their GTLD, if they think that they could make money out of that.
Has anybody mentioned the possibility of limits of the number of possible applications for TLDs by any particular organization, so that if I'm a Adam Rich Corporation, I can only actually apply for three or four or two or whatever it would be? And is that a reasonable, it's a bit late, but is that a reasonable discussion item?
Nothing as such has been suggested, but I would be happy to suggest it if you think it's something worthy.
I, from my perspective, I think that could be a very interesting conversation if the work group heads in that way. I think from an audience perspective, that could be very, very interesting indeed. So that's your additional question. Is there any more? Okay.
That's all. Thank you very much.
That's all, folks. Okay. Thank you, each and every one of you. It has been, to say the least, a day with some interesting challenges from a technological perspective. If I can encourage you now to all go upstairs to the Delegates Lounge and make our AFRALO showcase everything it should be, and I'll see you tomorrow morning early, if not bright, at the opening ceremony, which will be in the Tivu, I think it is, the main ballroom on the left-hand side. So our day tomorrow is all about being in the main room. Then Tuesday, back here. Good morning, good evening, good night to those of you who are on remote participation, and thank all of you for, I think, a lot of very worthwhile work and discussions today. Upstairs, level... If only I had...